ним. Если ты президент, для тебя есть закон, для тебя есть запрет. Из космы не воруй и не лги никогда. Будь открытым для всех, отвечай за слова. 8 лет президент, ты опять кандидат. Посмотри нам в глаза и закрой свой мандат. Доверяли тебе, а ты врал много лет, применяя во всем твой ГБшный секрет. Ты такой же, как я, человек, а не бог. Я такой же, как ты, человек, а не лох. Не дадим больше врать, не дадим воровать. Мы свободный десант, нами родина мать. Ты обычный чиновник, ни царь, ни бог. Для тебя человек, тупой бандерлог. Нет ленты свободы для всех позитив, ты лишь для тебя презерватив. Я смотрю на тебя, на портреты твои, ты нам врешь до сих пор, как медведи твои. Мы устали смотреть на позор всей страны, нищетой деревень, рядом замки твои. Развалил оборонку и армию стал, на солдат положил, офицеров послал. Мы тебе не простим все заслуги твои. Мы требуем мира, тирану хотим. Ты такой же, как я, человек, а не бог. Я такой же, как ты, человек, а не лох. Не дадим больше врать, не дадим воровать. Мы свободный десант, нами родина мать. Ты обычный чиновник, не царь, не бог. Для тебя человек, тупой вандерлог. Для ленты свободы, для всех позитив, и лишь для тебя презерватив. Помним наших дедов, воевавших до смерти. Помним наших гвардейцев, сошедших с небес. В нашем сердце остались Берлин и Афган. Ну а сердце Ядросов, личный карман. Нынче честь не в почете, достоинства нет. И только системный отблеск монет. Машины и тряпки, глобальный вещизм. Это прогнившие системы ленин. Забыли культуру о школах ЕГЭ. Дипломы за деньги и взятки везде. Лечиться бесплатно не может старик. Это прогнивший системы тупик. Ты такой же, как я, человек, а не бог. Я такой же, как ты, человек, а не лох. Не дадим больше врать, не дадим воровать. Мы свободный десант, нами родина мать. Ты обычный чиновник, ни царь, ни бог. Для тебя человек, тупой бандерлог. Для ленты свободы, для всех позитив, и лишь для тебя.
Well, there goes a Russian veteran song. These are airborne veterans of the Russian army. An anti-Putin song, not a pro-Putin song, an anti. And they said they had English subtitles, but I didn't see it, so I don't know exactly what they said, but they're upset with the man Putin. And this is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger, in the bunker right here in north central Indiana, where you get all the news fresh every day, as has to do with race, environment, economics, and all kinds of things here. You're not going to get it all compiled anywhere else that I know of. And it's only $20 donation a month to P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. Then go up to resist.com and peruse our giant website. We put a lot of work in on that. our webmaster does, and it's a great site. And we get emails from all over the world about that website. Now, my webmaster tells me that we're going to do something new now. We're going to assign a password to each paid-up member of the radio show. And with that password, you can go in and get your whatever radio shows you might have missed and all that kind of stuff. Takes you direct into the inner sanctum. Now, I'm going to try to make sure everybody that is qualified gets one of these passwords. But if you're paid up on your dues or your donations and somehow you find you're not getting a password, well, let me know and we'll work it out. Yeah. Well, our Siberian weather continues here in north central Indiana. We haven't had any more snow for about 48 hours or so. That's good. The snow that's on top of this about a 2-foot collection is hard, gets hard. You could make an igloo out of this stuff. Well, it's the 9th of January, 2014, and we're right here in the bunker ready to go, and let's get into the news, and the news seems to be really big on Fat Tony, Doug Christie, the governor of New Jersey, in which everybody is shocked that there's some shenanigans went on out there, and they got the people all pissed off. Well, you got to understand politicians. They're all corrupt. Some may be less corrupt than others, but they're all corrupt because power corrupts. And maybe it's sometimes smaller things and sometimes it's bigger things. But don't be surprised or shocked when someone who has the power of a governor does corruptible things. And sometimes somebody's listening. Somebody gets a copy of the emails he sent out to the Jew who was running the show on setting up this big super traffic jam for 4 hours. Yeah, it was his Jew conspirators that were involved in that. I forget. I think the guy's name was Weinstein. So remember that. Usually, where you see corruption really start showing itself, there'll be Jews around the person. You know, they like to be around the person, not necessarily the person themselves. But anyhow, so if you want to know who really enjoyed screwing all those people up in that gigantic traffic jam, it was a Jew. Well, let's see what's going on in the torture business. In a recent New York Times article about effects or efforts by the Senate Intelligence Committee to get its hands on and perhaps release an internal report on torture that the CIA doesn't want to turn over, the author mentions in passing the pending nomination of Carol D. Crass to be the top lawyer of the agency. He then notes that Ms. Crass is a career government lawyer who works at the Justice Department's Office of Legal Counsel, the arm of the department that advises the White House on the legality of domestic and foreign policies. In other words, can we get away with pulling that guy's fingernails out or not? The office was particularly controversial during the Bush administration when lawyers there wrote lengthy memos approving CIA interrogation methods like waterboarding and sleep deprivation, as well as signing off on the expansion of surveillance by the National Security Agency. Well, this is a long article, goes on and on, but may I shorten it up a little for you? All systems, all state apparatus torture. They all do, and perhaps the U.S. apparatus and the CIA does it more than many other countries. So you don't need to wonder whether it's happening, because it is happening. It's been happening for decades and will keep on happening. So these people asking, you know, the Senate Intelligence Committee, oh, well, I wonder, we want to see the paperwork, all that bullshit. They all know what's going on, and so if they want to stop it, they stop it. If they don't, they don't. And so far, they don't, so they keep on torturing. And the time will come in this country when you and I may be the victims of that kind of torture here, because everything that's happening over there eventually comes back home to roost. In fact, they do a lot of it now in the prisons. you know, federal prisons and state prisons. There's all kinds of torture goes on in those prisons. And since it's a closed society, there's no way most people can get the evidence on what's happening and who's doing it. And when an inmate complains about it, well, it doesn't go very far. He can write his congressman all he wants, and but the guards in these institutions can use psychological torturing every day of the week, and then they can use from time to time physical torturing. So don't say it doesn't go on here, because it does. We know how badly they beat up Gary Yarbrough, one of the order members, an inmate in a federal prison. They almost killed him. But you thought they just jailed people like, or tried to jail people like Snowden. Well, there's an actual blogger down in Birmingham, Alabama, who's been thrown in jail for whistleblowing in a case troubling to free speech advocates. An Alabama journalist who blogged about allegations of a sort of affair between the powerful Republican Skion and a lobbyist has been arrested and now sits in jail on contempt charges. A lot of you people don't realize that if you're charged with contempt, the judge can keep you in there forever and bring you out once in a while and say, well, are you ready to talk? And if you don't, you throw you back in. I knew of one attorney in L.A. who'd been in county jail for 2 years because they found him in contempt and he wouldn't give up his source of information. A judge has taken the extraordinary steps of not only sealing the file in the case, but ordering the blogger's posts be removed from the Internet. Roger Shuler, 56, was arrested October 23rd on a warrant by deputies who were waiting when he returned to his Birmingham home from a trip to the local library. His wife, Carol Shuler, told Who, What, Why that he was beaten and maced by deputies who cornered him in a garage. His garage, his booking photo with the Shelby County Jail shows his left eye swollen shut. For 3 weeks, he has sat behind bars in the county lockup in Columbiana, Alabama, held without bail on 2 counts of contempt of court and add-on charges for resisting arrest. Prior to his arrest, Shuler blogged that he was attempting to evade being served papers and forced into court. He claimed the attempts were illegal and therefore invalid on jurisdictional and technical legal grounds. Well, there you go. So you don't have to go as far as Snowden or any of the other people who expose graft, corruption, illegal activity in the government. You've got them right here. People sitting in jail because they dared tell the truth about powerful people. Well, I see the old Louis Theroux documentary that was done with myself and April Gady up in California, Oregon, or wherever she was at, is going around again for about the 5,000th time, so I'll send it on to you because it looks to be a pretty clean copy. And I had fun doing that documentary, even though Louis Theroux, or whatever his name is, he was a total complete asshole. They say he's not a Jew, but I say if he walks like a Jew, talks like a Jew, thinks like a Jew, he might as well be a Jew. He's a pseudo-Jew, a kike-minded person. Racism may accelerate aging in Negro American men. I get a kick out of all the new cons they come up with to support these kind of theories. And accelerated aging and a greater likelihood of suffering from an age-related illness at a younger age are two consequences being linked to African-American men who have experienced high levels of racism throughout their lives. A study published by the American Journal of Preventive medicine finds that Negro American men, a study published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine finds that African American men who reported high levels of racial discrimination or who have internalized anti-black attitudes themselves have an increased risk of premature death and chronic disease than white people, which shows you why you have to keep racism cooking. It's a psychological method of eliminating people. If you believe this stuff. Previous research has documented African Americans' shorter life expectancy and greater risk of chronic diseases. But this new study is the first to link racism related with experiences to accelerating aging at the biological cellular level. Well, you see where they're going with this? Racism is physically hurting people and causing them to be diseased. Quote, we examined a biomarker of systematic aging known as leukocyte telomere length, unquote. Dr. David H. Chae, assistant professor of at the University of Maryland School of Public Health and the study's lead investigator, said in a statement. Very interesting. You watch. They're moving towards something with this. Yeah. To turn everything racial into a criminal act. You're trying to kill a guy. You gotta love him or he's gonna die prematurely, man. Well, here's our old buddy Monsanto again. Monsanto Company, the world's largest seed company, said Wednesday it was making good progress on the development of a herbicide-tolerant wheat, pushing what would be the world's first biotech wheat a step closer to market. Monsanto, a leading developer of biotech corn, soybeans, and other crops, has long tried to bring to market a genetically altered wheat that tolerates spraying of glyphosate, the key ingredient in Monsanto's Roundup poison herbicides. Biotech wheat is not commercially available despite several companies having researched it for a number of years. Monsanto shelved an earlier version of an experimental herbicide tolerant wheat called Roundup Ready in 2004 amid widespread market concern and foreign buyers would boycott the U.S. wheat if it were genetically altered like corn and soybeans. Monsanto has acknowledged some continuing market hurdles, but said attitudes were changing. Officials said Wednesday that the herbicide-tolerant wheat performed well enough in field testing to move from the proof-of-concept phase to the early development work. Oh, okay. Let's see here. I think there's some more of this. The company said it was also advancing research on improved tomatoes, lettuce, and peppers. Oh, man. It was also pushing ahead on what it calls biologicals, a platform using microbials in ways that can make plants more resistant to disease and insects and improve yields. Well, the question is, why do we have increased problems with disease and insects? Probably is a direct result of playing around with Mother Nature. Yeah, that's right. Well, I guess the Mexican Mafia has one judge in their pocket. This is out of Las Vegas. Two purported members of the Mexican Mafia, originally accused of beating and robbing a Las Vegas limousine driver, are free while awaiting trial next month. But they no longer face charges. The alleged crimes were gang-related. Emilio Ruvalacawaca and Carlos Saenz III are accused of beating the driver in the early morning hours of September 5, 2013, outside an Industrial Road liquor store. The female driver stopped at the liquor store at her fare's request while en route to a one-strip nightclub to another. Well, There you go. Is a woman, too. Isn't that just like a Mexican? Before the alleged beating, the genesis of which is unclear, Ruilacaaca told the driver he was a member of the Mexican Mafia and that he'd killed before, according to the driver's testimony to a Clark County grand jury. Ruilacaaca told the driver she would be next and her body would never be found. But prosecutors, Clark County District Court Judge Abby Silver, ruled last month didn't present sufficient evidence to the grand jury to support felony charges of battery, mayhem, and robbery, all with intent to promote, further, and assist a criminal gang. Somebody's got a judge in their pocket, that's for sure. Well, the Chinaman's on the warpath. A Chinese businessman who is determined to buy an American newspaper said he is just as smart as the Jews who own some of those papers. Chen Guangbiao, chairman of the Jiangsu Hainhunpu Recycling Resources, who made his fortune in recycling construction material in China, announced late last month that he would travel to New York to meet with shareholders of the New York Times in order to acquire the newspaper. His premature announcement led to the cancellation of the January 5th meeting, according to Forbes. Earlier this week, Chen said in an interview with Sinovision, a New York-based Chinese television station, that he was investigating whether the Wall Street Journal is for sale. He said he was aware that many American newspapers are owned by Jews and that his IQ or intelligence quotient and EQ or emotional quotient are equally competent as those Jewish owners. He also added that he is very good at working with Jews. He'll find out. Well, I don't know whether you're going to believe this one, but the elite combat soldiers of Israel's IDF Mezhin unit might be ready for duty in the Arctic cold in Chicago, having trained in their underwear after last month's once-in-a-century snowstorm swept through Israel. The soldiers were caught on camera training in their military vests and underwear while carrying rifles. The video of the stunt was posted on Israeli television, prompting charges that the IDF was guilty of abuse. But one of the men said it was the soldiers who came up with the idea. Quote, any claim that the activity was imposed from above is baseless, unquote, the IDF spokesman said. So you got some tough kikes there, man, doing their training in their underwear, man. What the hell? Well, 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 a court in France scrapped a municipal ban on the performance by an anti-Semitic comedian, Duodan Mabala, Thursday after he petitioned to negate the ruling by a court in Nantes, N-A-N-T-E-S, France. The judge rejected the argument made by Christian de Lavernay, a municipal administrator who banned the show on grounds that it would create a disturbance to the public order and cause offense to basic human dignity and the kikes. The show, which will take place Thursday night in Nantes, is scheduled to be the first performance in a nationwide tour by Duodan of his new routine called The Wall. The French Interior Minister, Manuel Valls, last week sent a letter to all French mayors assuring them that they had the authority to ban shows by Duodan, who has been convicted 7 times for inciting racial hatred against Jews with jokes about the Holocaust, calls for liberation of Jew killers, and anti-Jewish conspiracy theories, among other actions. He is scheduled to appear on January 26 in Bordeaux, one of several French cities that have banned his show at Valls' encouragement. The ruling came amid criticism that Valls' attempts to ban Duodan's shows were too restrictive of freedom of speech. And you can't get rid of anti-Semitic stuff. It's here to stay, man. Back off. Well, I see there's another pretender for the throne of National Alliance. Somebody sent me some information on another site to where they're not they're opposed to Kevin Strom and I guess Will Williams and those people, but they're also and of course against Eric Gleeby, and so now they got a so there's another third faction going on here with the National Alliance, which will guarantee that National Alliance will never be what it used to be at one time. So that's too bad. So anyhow, that's the way it goes in the right wing, man. They always want to fight each other instead of fighting some more important enemies, you know. Well, I observe a lot of this stuff because a lot of people send me different situations in that National Alliance deal. That pedophile thing is disturbing. And allegedly, there's a 15-year probation on Kevin Strom. So, evidently, where there's smoke, there's fire there. Anyhow, there are dozens and dozens of right-wing radio shows now all over the place. Once in a while, I get one in the mail and I go there and this name comes up that's running the radio show and he's into this and that and interviewing all these people. Never heard of the guy. There's all these guys out there, these right-wingers. They all tend to be right-wing. And they don't come right out and say it. But when it comes down to the wire, they're either conservative right-wing or they're religious right-wing conservative or this and that and this and that. And on the major issues, you can always tell because they're pretty much lined up. So, anyhow, I will proceed along my lonely way here with the Insurgent Radio Network and do the best I can to inform you of what's going on without being, well, I'm not going to get into squabbles in the right wing because I'm not in the right wing, but like I said, there seems to be a major squabble coming up, a three-way now with the National Alliance, so I'm going to stay off that ball field, I'll tell you. And I can tell you right now, since it's right wing, there's got to be money at the basis of this. A lot of this struggle going on is fighting over what's left of the Pierce money from the National Alliance. So I don't think if there was any, if there was no money there, there probably wouldn't be much of a war going on between these people. Boy, I'm telling you, there's so much stuff on the internet now about anti-Semitism and racism. I'm telling you, it's in there by the pound, man. I'll tell you, it's all over the place. Well, let's see what the right Reverend Al Sharpton's up to. Whatever else he's done, the Tawana Brawley hoax, remember that? His inciting to deadly violence in the Crown Heights riots and the Freddy's Fashion Mart incident, possibly money laundering and more. He's given MSNBC its money's worth. Look, you don't hire Sharpton for his razor-sharp statistical analysis, his hard-won understanding of the burdens of governing, or his deep acquaintance with history and philosophy. And although he's apparently a real hoot as the nutty professor in a lab coat explaining what he doesn't know about global warming, race is the erstwhile reverend's bread and butter, and he does not disappoint you. That's right. Sharpton said race, racism, or racist 215 times in 2013 during his MSNBC show. Politics Nation, from opposition to Obama's agenda to guns and even into fashion and food. Sharpton's finely tuned nose for racism rarely took a day off last year. Yeah.
Great. Racism still exists.
Boy, you are too smart for television now. I'm telling you.
Well, Sharpton's too smart for television, as his Amen Charlie buddy says there, his other nigger buddy. So that was the just part of the number of times that Al Sharpton said racism or all that kind of stuff. Racism, all the time, racism. Well, I'm glad he does that, because that keeps racism on people's minds. Well, looks like they're coming down on another 98-year-old ex-SS National Socialist, and they picked him up. Well, you know, did you ever wonder about this, why it takes them 40, 50 years to go after these guys? You say they don't know where they're at? Of course they knew where they were at. They've known where these people were at all along. But they're stringing it out. Yeah, this is the way the Jew machine works. Every few years, or even every few months, they miraculously find one. Yeah. He may be 95, but we found him. Well, how come you didn't get him when he was 50? Oh, we didn't know about him. Bullshit, Jaime. You knew about him. You just string this stuff out just to get maximization of your Holocaust Shoah business. That's what you do it for. You know it, I know it, and if the people out there don't know it, they better understand that they've known where all these people were all along for decades. Well, I guess Uncle Adolf's back in popularity. Adolf Hitler's anti-Jew political testament, Mein Kampf, is surging up electronic booksellers' lists. Even as sales of the printed version have been stagnant for years. As of Wednesday, two electronic versions of Mein Kampf ranked 12th and 15th in politics and current events section of the iTunes bookstore. On Amazon, Hitler's polemic ranked number one in the propaganda and political psychology section. There are currently six e-books versions of Mein Kampf, and all of them rank among the 10 best-selling versions of the book available on the site. One explanation offered for the surge in electronic sales concerns the relative anonymity offered by e-books as compared to their printed counterparts. Quote, "These are things that people would be embarrassed to read otherwise," unquote, journalist Chris Farron, who spotted the trend towards, told ABC News, books that people would probably be a bit more embarrassed to read or display or buy in public, they're more than willing to buy on their Kindle or iPads. Well, that's good, because that's more of a younger generation. Farrowone believes the phenomenon is similar to surrounding the erotic novel 50 Shades of Grey, which in 2012 became the first to sell more than 1 million copies on Amazon's Kindle e-reader. 50 Shades of Grey is something you would probably be embarrassed to read in public, said Farrowone, but added that the anonymity offered by e-readers ensures that readers with a talent or a latent interest in controversial subject matter can read the books freely without arousing suspicion. In other words, people want to read Mein Kampf, they just don't want to be ridiculed by kike-minded people surrounding them. Let's say you have a latent curiosity. Mein Kampf is very present in e-book stores. You don't have to go out of your way to find it. It's a no-brainer, Farrowone said. Oh boy, the ADL is going to get excited about this. And the Simon Wiesenthal Center, yeah, stop that. Oh, God, quit that stuff. Hitler wrote Mein Kampf while in prison following the failed attempt of then-fledgling National Socialist Party to seize power in Munich in 1923. its anti-Jew themes and racial ideas became the blueprint for National Socialist ideology. It became the most popular book in Germany after Hitler became chancellor in 1933. The book has seen an upsurge, resurgence in popularity in recent years, particularly in Muslim countries. In 2005, when it was first published in Turkey, it sold 100,000 copies in 2 months alone. Jewish leaders have expressed alarm that companies would profit from surging digital sales of Mein Kampf. And here's the hook. They want to get into the act. They want to get some of this money. While the academic study of Mein Kampf is certainly legitimate, the spike in e-book sales likely comes from neo-Nazis and skinheads idolizing the greatest monster in history, unquote, the World Jewish Congress CEO Robert Singer told ABC News in an emailed statement. That's bullshit. I mean, I think most so-called neo-Nazis have had that book on their shelf for a long, long time. And not, I don't think there's that many skinheads around reading it either. We think that responsible companies shouldn't profiteer from sales of hate books, or at least should donate the profits to help the victims of anti-Jewism, racism, and other bigotries, he said. California-based Elite Minds Incorporated, which publishes the best-selling 99-cent version of Mein Kampf, disputes the idea that the surge in sales is due to right-wing extremists. Quote, the popularity of the digital Ford translation of Mein Kampf has surged due to academic interest in the subject, unquote, Elite Minds President Michael Ford told ABC News in an email. Quote, with digital readers, no one faces the stigma or having a copy of Mein Kampf on their bookshelf, or risk it being seen on a table and having visitors make false assumptions about their reasons for owning it. They can read it in the subway without fear of being mistaken for a racist, just because they want to learn about history, Ford said. Or maybe they want to become a Nazi. The print publication of Mein Kampf remains hugely controversial. Recently, the German state of Bavaria, which owns the copyright to the book, scrapped plans to release an annotated version of the manifesto out of respect for Holocaust victims. Oh, well, it don't do you any good. The book's getting around. People want to read a book, they're going to get it no matter what. But the Jews want part of the profits, supposedly to benefit victims of the Shoah Holocaust. Christy, one day after... Whoa, wait a minute here.
Kelly, politics ain't beanbag. Okay, and everybody in the country who engages in politics knows that. On the other hand, that's very, very different than saying that, you know, someone's a bully. I have very heated discussions and arguments with people in my own party and on the other side of the aisle. I feel passionately about issues. And I don't hide my emotions from people. I am not a focus group tested, blow-dried candidate or governor. Now, that has always made some people, as you know, uneasy. Some people like that style, some people don't. And I've always said, I think you asked me a question day after the election, are you willing to change your style in order to appeal to a broader audience? And I think I said no, because I am who I am. But I am not a bully. And what I will tell you is that the folks who have worked with me over a long period of time would, I believe, tell you that I'm tough. But I've shown over the last 4 years in the tone that we've set here that I'm willing to compromise, that I'm willing to work with others. And the campaign showed with all of the folks who came from the other side of the aisle to support us that if we weren't willing to have relationships with those folks, it would have never happened that way. So I don't believe that, Kelly, and I don't believe the body of work in the last 4 years displays that. Now, in this instance, the language used and the conduct displayed in those emails is unacceptable to me. And I will not tolerate it. But the best I can do is when I see stuff like that, to end it. And I know that won't satisfy everybody, but I'm not in the business of satisfying everybody. I'm in the business of trying to satisfy the people who elected me governor. Michael?
Well, there he is, Governor Christie, trying to dig himself out of a big hole. And the first thing he did was threw that Jew boy assistant of his, advisor, under the bus. That's funny. Now, I wonder what that Jew advisor is going to do, and I wonder what a lot of these other people are going to do as Christie tries to dig himself out of this hole. It's going to be interesting. I love it. I love this kind of stuff. It shows to you just exactly the way politicians are. He can lie all he wants to, but most of the stuff they said about him is true because it goes along with power. Power. He doesn't want to give power to the people. He wants to get all the power for himself and use whatever corruption he can use to get it. Yeah, and on that Hitler thing, you know, people are looking for answers. They're looking all over the place. They know this thing is going down. They know everything's going to crap, not only in the United States, but all over the world. So they're looking for answers. Maybe Uncle Adolf did have some answers. Maybe they should be studying it and tell me that that's just some of the neo-Nazis buying the book or the Kindle or like that. That's baloney, first-class baloney. The people that are buying it are probably young and more intellectual people, and white people and black people too. I mean, they're buying it like mad. So you never know. There may be a new National Socialist movement on the way, non-Hollywood. Well, probably you young people don't remember the name Enoch Powell, but Enoch Powell was an Englishman. And Enoch Powell was involved in the National Front political party, evidently from 69 to 79. But Enoch Powell was the George Wallace of England, and if people would have listened to Enoch Powell, England would be a much, much, much better place to be in right now. I'm going to send along email to you his speech called The Rivers of Blood speech. And I'm telling you, it was like being a fortune teller. He knew what was coming. It wasn't that hard to see, but he had the guts to step up to the bat and say it, step up to the home plate and hit a home run. So look for it in your email. I don't know whether you can hear the noise in the background there, but this is a video out of Germany talking about the destruction or the attempted destruction of the Holocaust Memorial in downtown Berlin. I'm not sure when this happened. I'm going to send it along to you. But it's a report about the mass desecration of Berlin's famous Holocaust Memorial by hordes of German nationalists and others, which sparked international outrage. A veteran Berlin parliamentarian and anti-extremism campaigner has expressed his outrage at the incident and vowed to protect the memorial personally if necessary. You can hear them with their hammers and beating on that damn Holocaust memorial. Consists of thousands of rectangular gray concrete monoliths, metaphors for the graves of the 6 million. In this shocking footage recorded below, a group of nationalists can be seen climbing and jumping on the monoliths, lighting firecrackers, urinating and defecating into the memorial itself. This went on for quite some time. I'm not quite sure when it happened, though. I think I covered this story before, but anyhow, here it is about this alleged attack on this black. We previously covered the story about the San Jose State student who was tortured by his classmates for being African American. His roommates nicknamed him Three-Fifths as a reference to previous laws that counted slaves as three-fifths of a person. They put a U-shaped bicycle lock around his neck, decorated their shared spaces with the Confederate flag and Nazi memorabilia and physically hurt him. The New York Daily News reports, quote, the goons also barricaded his door with furniture and once tried to lure him into a closet that had its doorknob removed to trigger his claustrophobia, unquote. One of the three students, Logan Bessler, along with Joseph Baumgartner and Colin Warren, who are being charged with misdemeanor hate crime and battery, is using the defense that he is not a racist, but nerdy, according to lawyer Charles Mizzerou. I can only presume this lawyer is purposely doing a shitty job because he knows this kid is guilty as a fuck. Mizzerou said kids with too much time on their hands will do stupid things, and these were just insensitive pranks. Yes, kids will do stupid things. Yes, these were insensitive. Oh yes, they are all racist. Yeah, anyhow, there seems to be a little payback going on here. You know, we've been having whites get their ass kicked for quite some time by blacks. Looks like there's a signs as the worm is turning. Well, I see they're pushing the new short documentary, Facing Fear, which was a documentary short film by Jason Cohen. Worlds Collide, when a former neo-Nazi skinhead, actually he was a punker when this happened, and a gay victim of his hate crime attack, meet by chance 25 years after the incident that dramatically shaped both their lives. Together they embark on a journey of forgiveness that challenges both to grapple with their beliefs and fears, eventually leading to an improbable collaboration and friendship. Well, how about that? Isn't that cute?
That evening was more violent than usual. At first glance, we saw the Mohawk, and we thought, well, whatever, just punk rockers. Look, there they are again. The faggots. Let's go kill the faggots. They started beating, punching me first, then kicking me. We're at a heightened level of aggression. I remember looking into that face. I remember looking at that Mohawk in those eyes. I kicked him in the forehead, and he was out. The words and what I saw were far more painful throughout my life than the boots and the blades. Tell you the truth, I don't know if I could forgive somebody the way he's been able to forgive me.
This is a guy who was a skinhead for a while. I knew him. The only thing he ever did for me was escort me to the city hall, to the court. And he was a punker when he assaulted this homosexual on the streets. And then we split with this guy, and he got into drugs and left his wife and kid high and dry and a whole bit. Showed up at a high school to give a talk on racism a few years ago, and he was so drunk and high on drugs that they had to run him off. So that's what we're dealing with there. But he's a star now. The Jews have made him a star. Well, that's it for today, boys and girls. I'll be back with you tomorrow. And what is tomorrow? This is Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow, which is Freya's Day. Another week almost over here. How about having lots of fun here in the bunker, We'll close out with a little music here.
There's an evening haze settling over town, starlight by the edge of the creek. Buying power of the proletariat's gone down. Money's getting shallow and weak. Well, the place I love best is a sweet memory. It's the new path that we call. They say low wages are reality. If we want. My cool weapons have been put on the shelf. Come sit down on my knee. You are dearer to me than myself. While I'm listening to the steel rails a hum, got both eyes tight shut, just sitting here trying to keep the hunger from creeping its way into my gut. Meet me at the bottom, don't lag behind. Bring me my boots and shoes. You can hang back or fight your best on the front line. Sing a little bit of these working blues. I'll drag them all down to hell and I'll stand up at the wall. I'll sell them to an enemy. I'm a trying to feed my soul with thought. Gonna sleep off the rest of the day. Sometimes no one wants what you've got. Sometimes you can't get away. Now the place is ringed with countless fools. Some of them may be deaf or dumb.
Best on the front line. Sing a little bit of these working bands.
Negro American man. Well, the show today was a little bit of an abortion. We had some glitches, and you noticed. That'll teach me. I thought, I'm going to get me somebody to help me with the console. So I saw the nigger boy walking down the street, and I said, you need a job, boy? He said, yeah. I brought him in here and let him work on my console, and boy, did he fuck things up, man. I said, you out of here, nigger. I ain't never going to get no affirmative action nigger in here no more. I'll do it myself, even if I do screw it up. 14.5.